Hey, Rob Bradford here. You guys know I'm always up for a good MVP story, and one of the best stories is Wasabi Technology. Wasabi is the world's hottest cloud storage company, and it's become the go-to provider for professional and collegiate sports teams, including 20 Major League Baseball teams like the Red Sox and NHL teams like the Bruins and Vancouver Canucks. Even the Liverpool Football Club is getting in on the Wasabi action. So why is Wasabi the MVP? Well, Wasabi was purpose-built to free businesses from skyrocketing storage costs and unpredictable transaction fees that the Amazons of the world are charging. In fact, Wasabi is up to 80% less than those hyperscalers and doesn't charge a cent for businesses to access their data. From Wasabi's AI-enabled intelligent media storage, Wasabi Air, to the industry's only cloud storage service with triple protection against cyber criminals, data deletion, and ransomware, Wasabi's taking the lead in driving innovation in data storage and helping sports teams to unleash the power of their data. Wasabi, another Boston-based championship team.
Back at it for a little early BP. I'm Mike Farron. D-backs and Los Angeles Dodgers getting ready to play game two of their series tonight as Robbie Ray starts with the D-backs against Ross Stripling for Los Angeles. Last night, the D-backs got back to 500 as the Kershaw clobberer Christian Walker delivered again.
And it's hit in the air to center. He hit it pretty well. Back of the warning track at the wall. We're tied at three. Walker hits Kershaw again out of the park. His third career home run, 3-3 here on the first.
Zach Greinke would also homer off Kershaw, his third of the year, just the seventh time in history. A Cy Young Award winner has homered off another Cy Young Award winner. And the D-backs snapped a 4-4 tie in the eighth behind David Peralta.
The 2-2 to Peralta. Swing and a base hit center field. That'll score Marte. On his way to third, Escobar. RBI single Peralta. The Diamondbacks lead it 5-4.
D-backs plated three more in the inning. Tim LeCastro, a big two-run single as they beat L.A. 8-5 to take game one of the series. And after tonight, we will be at the halfway point of the season. Can the D-backs have a winning record through 81 games? We will find out. But after the game yesterday, we had a chance to visit with one of the offensive stars, Christian Walker.
No active player has more home runs off Clayton Kershaw than you. How does that feel?
That's awesome. In my opinion, he's one of the best ever. So, baseball is a crazy sport. Anything can happen any given day. Every situation has someone who's successful and then someone who, didn't execute. It's just how it goes, and luckily it's just been going my way.
The emotions of that situation, what was that like? We saw you with the big cheer and the fist pump, the yell as you were rounding the bases. How important was that for you guys tonight?
Yeah, that's important. Just to be able to answer, even just to put up one or two, just to show that what we're here and let them know that we're not just going to give in, but, to even the score like that means a lot. And I knew I hit it well. It was just a matter of height, and luckily it stayed up.
For the last month, really since Memorial Day, cut down the swing and miss of the zone. You've been driving the ball. What were the adjustments you made to get to this point?
Just trust in the process. I feel like I'm not really doing too much different. Maybe being a little bit more selective, but I think a lot of that is because I'm allowing myself time to maybe see the ball and just be ready to hit a little bit earlier. But to be honest, I feel the same. My approach feels good, and it's just going my way right now.
Christian Walker, one of the offensive heroes for the D-backs in their 8-5 win over Los Angeles. Coming up in a little bit, we'll visit with the manager, Torey Lovello. But first, a conversation with one of the hottest hitters in the D-backs lineup, catcher Carson Kelly.
It's been a really nice run the last 2 months for you. How have you felt overall, both offensively and defensively?
No, it's been good. It's been good. Really just sticking with my plan and continuing to evolve each day, continuing to learn and grow. And that's something that was a goal for me this year. It's been great so far.
As you got to the Colorado series at the beginning of May, it really seemed like things turned around. What happened leading up to that for you offensively that got you kind of locked in?
Probably the first homer.
Really?
That was it? Yeah, the first homer. Just felt like a big weight off my shoulder. Getting a couple hits early on in my career and then finally getting that first homer, it was just like a confidence boost. Allowed me to relax a little bit, like, all right, I got my homer out of the way. Now let's go play. From that point on, I think it's just continuing to be consistent in my work and continuing to learn and evolve.
Watching you at the plate, you seem more aggressive in the way you're going at it. Is that one of the things that's kind of evolved with this too, or am I reading that wrong?
No, I mean, it's a lot of it is the confidence.
Yeah.
Early on in my career, I didn't have a lot of success at the plate, and my playing time was sporadic. Now getting a little bit more consistent playing time, it allows you to build a plan and make adjustments from day to day. And that's something that when I go back to the minor leagues a couple years ago, I could get those consistent at-bats and make those day-to-day adjustments. Because it's hard to go up there, you know, get an at-bat here and there and try to go out and perform and do everything you can for your team. But I think so far I've done a pretty good job, but there's definitely a lot more to go.
You know, one of the other things that stands out is that you're a guy that makes a lot of contact but puts together good at-bats. Where did that approach come from?
Actually, it started in 2015 when I was actually having my worst statistical year. Yeah, I made a lot of adjustments. It was a big learning year for me. It was probably one of the most important years for me as well, because I changed my mindset at the plate. A lot of it is not swinging at pitches, borderline pitches, early. And, you know, there's a lot of those pitches that could go either way. It could be ball, could be a strike. But what that allows me to do is to get into better hitting counts. And then you take your chances. I mean, as you know, baseball is all about percentages and things like that. But getting yourself into good counts is ideal. So, you know, being patient but also picking your spots to be aggressive is you know, the name of the game.
Who was it, if anybody, that helped you make that adjustment?
We had a guy in St. Louis, George Greer. Okay. He's been around for a long time and seen a lot of hitters, helped a lot of hitters. He was with the Mets for a while too. And it was as simple as that. Don't swing a borderline pitch to two strikes. It's like, huh, okay, we'll try. My walks went up. My hard hit contact went up. Strikeouts went down. I mean, there's a lot of things that go along that line. And that's something I've kept. I mean, obviously I've evolved over the years, but that is something that, you know, still stands true to this day.
The offense stands out, but defensively, when you start diving into the numbers, you've had an excellent season, especially receiving. I remember talking to you in spring training about you were really working to get the low strike because you have a long torso and it's not always easy for umpires to see that. The numbers bear out that you're getting that. What's the work that's gone in for you to be able to try and find those key pitches to be able to get strikes for your pitchers?
I think a lot of it is your positioning before the pitch is coming and the way you receive it, catching it clean and giving it a good presentation. There's a lot of, I mean, there's catching has evolved in many different ways. And a lot of it now is the pitch framing and, I still got a long way to go, but I think the adjustments that I've made in spring training and continuing to learn what the philosophy is here with the D-backs and diving into that and evolving with that is something that, you know, is going to continue to get better.
As you look at your game overall, obviously you want to improve everything, but is there something that you look at right now and go, okay, this is, you know, even in short-term goals, I would like to do this a little bit better?
I wouldn't say there's one specific thing, like you said, as a player you want to continue to evolve, but I think a lot of it is making the minor adjustments day to day. The little things that might give you a little bit more of an advantage. I mean, I do a lot of preparation before the game, but also, you know, taking what we did last night. You know, look at the things that, hey, I could do a little bit better here, writing those down, understanding them, and that's how I evolve as a player. And you know, you're not going to see drastic jumps right away, but over the course of time, little by little, everything's going to continue to evolve.
You keep a journal of that?
I do, yeah. I've got a little black book that I keep little things in and that I've had ever since I got into pro ball. And I have also another journal for more mental stuff.
Carson Kelly, D-backs first-year catcher, who has been fantastic this season, both offensively and behind the dish. In fact, the guys at Pitcher's List just pointed out that he is one of nine catchers who's above average in both weighted runs created plus and framing to this point this season. So value on both sides of the ball from Kelly. Big win for the D-backs last night. Let's visit with the skipper, Torrey Lovello.
That had to feel really good last night. What was the moment that really set it home for you?
Well, I mean, there's two parts of this game for me that made statements. It was the home run that tied the baseball game in the first inning, where we didn't shut down and had a chance to just shut down and know it was the Dodgers and all that comes with what they're doing this year, and we didn't back down, and I like that. And then for me, the Tim LeCastro base hit down the right field line that scored two runs really kind of sealed the game for me. And it was a good moment for him. And it was built, the inning was built by some really good hitting, timely hitting. We took what the pitcher was giving us, extended the lead, and gave us a 4-1 cushion going into the ninth.
You know, it can be overlooked in it because the line score doesn't look like, but Zach Greinke giving you zeros through the sixth, what did that mean last night?
Well, you know, he gives up three runs early. They pounced on him. You got to give him some credit. I think he made some mistakes. And sometimes the best pitchers don't get into a rhythm until the second or third inning. So they were ready to go. But then after he got into that rhythm, he shut it down. And, you know, one inning in particular where I think it was the sixth, it was a double play ball that would have gotten us two quick outs and given Zach a chance to maybe work deeper into the game. He had to work extremely hard. He got three big outs with men at first and second and no outs. That was another defining moment and described Zach exactly the way he is. Nothing rattles him. He goes out and makes pitches.
Who was the best pitcher you had good career numbers against?
Wow, that's a good question. I'll say Jamie Navarro, I hit very well. I hit Jose Mesa very well. But that's going way deep into the archives.
Yeah, I was going to say. I mean, it's not Clayton Kershaw. No offense, but, like, Christian Walker against Clayton Kershaw is pretty good. Navarro was a very good pitcher for a long time.
Yeah.
What's it like when you've got the number of somebody who's really good?
Yeah, I see your angle, so I appreciate that. You brought me back to my glory days, right? But you just know when you walk into the box, you've had success. And it's the same mindset the pitchers have, and he's like, how do I get this guy out? Why is he hitting me over anybody else? And it's just that mind warfare, and it does take its toll on both sides. So Christian Walker gave great input yesterday in our advanced meeting. He knew how he was going to approach Clayton Kershaw. He got the pitch, and he hit it. And I'm sure Clayton Kershaw is trying to figure out how it's happening. So that's a distraction to one of the best pitchers in the game. And if he's having a distraction, I feel like it's an advantage for us.
I know that he kind of settled down towards the middle of the game, but you guys did a really good job. We know he likes to work in against righties. Mm-hmm. It seemed like you guys made good decisions. How happy were you with the approach overall against him?
Real happy. And we were building innings. We weren't, you know, our typical 1-2-3s against Clayton Kershaw. We did have a couple, don't get me wrong, but we were waiting for the pitch we wanted to hit. And you're right, he wants to crowd. He wants to crowd right-handed hitters. We wanted to know what a baller strike was and what the difference was that we could attack, and it was a go pitch. And we did. And I think, you know, Zach Greinke was a perfect example of that. He got a pitch that was down and in, and he hammered it.
Yoshi Hirano, I know we've talked about how he's pitching better as of late. The walks, though, in this stretch have been a little bit alarming. 7 walks in 10 innings, and I know that that's not him. What are you seeing with him when he gets into those spots? How much of it is small sample managing lineups, and how much of it is, in your mind, kind of what happened to him last night?
Yeah, he was battling last night. I don't know what happened, but he's going to have those moments every now and then. He's been very good with runners in scoring position, coming in hot innings, and he made some pitches when he had to, but it was uncharacteristic of what he's done for us. And I think he's been throwing the ball extremely well. And for him to come back and get the big out of Taylor to give us the tie game was a big moment and gave us a great push.
All right, you're going to get kind of a piggyback tonight. This is almost like going back to A-ball, right? You're going to get piggyback starters. It'll be Stripling and then Urias. So you get a righty to a lefty. Mm-hmm. How do you handle this? What, if anything, changes for you tonight because that's likely to happen?
Very little. I'm not going to adjust our lineup just based on what they're doing. I'm not going to chase it. You know why? Because I believe in our guys, and I'll take our guys against any matchup in any situation. And I had a choice to start some guys, and knowing that Urias was going to be coming in the back end of this game. But I believe enough in what we can do. We're going to go out and bang, and no matter who's going to take them out, we feel like we can beat them.
Right, you guys planning to give Bellinger the Bonds treatment the rest of the series, too? That was kind of interesting, taking it out of his hands.
Well, you know, everybody said, everybody circling and telling me that that's been watching that team very closely, don't let them beat us. So, of course, if I have a base open, I'm not going to let it happen.
It's Skip Trigger tonight.
Thanks so much.
That's Stuart Lovello, the D-backs manager. D-backs getting ready to take on Los Angeles. Much more coming up on the BP show at 6 o'clock on the Diamondbacks Radio Network. For Greg Schulte and Tom Candiotti, have the first pitch at 6:40 as the D-backs try to make it 3 straight and get over 500 as they reach the midpoint in the season. Thanks for joining us for Early BP.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you.
I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.